In the pursuit of sun, sea, and sand, no one goes as far as a dedicated surfer who lives for the perfect wave. Ever since the first Polynesian figured out how to ride the waves of the Pacific, surfing has been the ultimate water sport for athletes, and for beach bums alike. Drew Campion's made a career surfing and writing about surfing. He's currently the editor of The Surfer's Path and the author of the book Stoked. He told Steve Paulson about some of the biggest happenings in modern surf culture, including the discovery of Malibu.
There were points in the early 60s where there'd be, 100 people trying to ride the three waves every 10 minutes that came in. When you have three of those guys want to ride it alone and they're the alpha males in the group, it doesn't leave a lot of leftovers for anybody else. So it's a very competitive environment. But what happened was that surfboard technology, again, leads this whole history of the sport. And long about the 1960s, surfboards got really small, really light. Now, the average surfboard that a kid would surf today with three fins on it, because they ride boards with three fins now, they're about maybe 6 feet long. They probably weigh about 6 or 7 pounds.
They used to be huge, right? I mean, I've seen pictures.
Oh, yeah, huge. You and me together would be struggling up the beach.
Now, you've said that surfing is a sport of limited resources. I mean, there are only so many great waves out there. Mm-hmm. And I know that some surfers guard their favorite spots. This is not something you want to broadcast to the rest of the world. But there are some places that have become famous. One is Mavericks. Can you tell me about this place?
Yes. Mavericks, it's a surf name of a surf spot named for a dog some years ago. And it's a big wave spot. And it's also called a tow spot, T-O-W, which means that people ride waves by being towed into them by jet skis or usually a jet ski kind of a personal watercraft. Tow surfing is a new sport. Mavericks is a spot that was discovered before tow surfing by a guy who surfed it alone for many years before he even got his friends to go with him.
This is in Northern California.
Right. Thank you for reminding me. It's between Santa Cruz and San Francisco on the coast, Half Moon Bay. And it was a place that was overlooked for years. You just drive by, you wouldn't think anything would be happening out there, outside beyond the break wall. But around the corner, this wave that breaks on, you can start to ride it when the waves are about probably 12 feet or something like that. But you can ride it up to 40 or 50 or 60, 70, 70 feet, let's say.
70 feet.
Yeah. So thanks to towing the limit to what a guy can paddle into is probably around a 25-foot wave. That's about maybe a 30-foot wave you could actually physically paddle into you need a kind of a big board, and you got a board that's really fast, and you kind of get going ahead of time, and the wave's got to be right. You could probably catch, and I couldn't, an athlete could probably catch a 30-foot wave. But if you have a guy to slingshot you in, just like you're a water skier, he slingshots you into a wave before it really peaks up that steep, because you already got speed. So he slingshots you into the face of the wave. It's still kind of a hump. And you're on a very small board, not a big board, and you're strapped onto the board just like a water skier or a snowboarder. And you start sliding down this wave. You let go of that rope. He's got you up to about, 40 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour, faster than the wave. So you start to catch it, drop the rope. You drop into this thing. You get positioned. You get down the wave as it starts to jack up over the reef. And you carve your turn as that thing goes completely hollow. And you're going across this face that's about from the bottom, just a little bit below you, maybe about 15 feet below you is the bottom. You're stuck in the side of this thing. It goes up another 50 feet over your head and forms an arc that goes over your head and holds you in this cylinder. And you're driving along the face of this, heading out the very end of it, which goes into deeper water. So the wave just backs off at that point, if you can make it. And that's what these guys are doing. These waves are 60, 70 feet. It's unbelievable. It's things that nobody would ever have thought possible. And it's the most amazing stuff, I think, that's going on the planet right now.
But what about those huge waves? I mean, a 60-foot
right.
wave, if you lose your balance and you get crushed by one of those waves, what's going to happen to you?
Happens every day. And what happens is that people, like corks, pop up. It's the weirdest deal. Like I was saying, we thought everybody would die above 30 feet. Unbelievable. There's a contest every year where they give $1,000 a foot to the surfer who rides the biggest wave that year. And the guy who won it last year got $70,000. That was a photographed 70-foot wave, measured 70 feet from the bottom of the front of the trough to the top of the wave, 70 feet. And, I mean, that's a huge thing. You'd think the guy would die. But guys, on that day, the day that wave was ridden, waves very much like that, probably a little bit smaller, but about 60 feet, guys were caught, fell off, you know, went over the falls, as they say, went over with the lip, had the thing break right on their heads, and they all survived. Nobody died. Hmm. So, you know, by the time these guys have been at it for 30 or 40 years, they've got a lot of physical wisdom and a lot of strength, and they're really hard to kill.
What about sharks? I would think that seeing a flashy surfboard out in the water way out there might be kind of attractive for a shark roaming by.
Yeah, you got that one. Sharks are always a problem, and they're certainly probably larger a problem in the imagination than they are in the water. But you still have situations every year. There are surfers that are bitten or eaten in some cases by sharks. It happens, and the same for swimmers. And usually the shark has made a mistake. Usually the shark is interested in delicious, fatty seal. And people just look too much like seals sometimes. So you find that kind of situation more often than not. But the other one is a surfboard with a guy, when he's got his arms out on his side, can look like an object a shark might be interested in and go after him.
Now, there are some words that come up that describe surfing experience. Surf drunk, stoked. So what's your definition of stoked?
Stoked is being in a state of joy. And one thing that'll get you there is riding a really nice wave.
So what's the magic?
It's hard to explain. And it's, you know, it's not a point you want to argue, because in a way you don't really want, you know, more people surfing. There's already, I'm contributing to my own problem, you know, by talking about it or writing about it, which I do, but it's such an amazing culture. There's a saying from William Blake that he wrote in The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, that if a fool would persist in his folly, he would become wise. So I started interviewing surfers back when they were 18, 19, 20 years old. So, and I was like 25 or something. So now I'm 61. And these surfers I'm interviewing now are like 45, 50, 55, 60, 70 years old. And a lot of them, the main thing they've done all their life is surf. And these guys are really wise. Whatever they're doing, I don't know what it is, but it does have an energy about it. And it's a very metaphorical activity. It's like very representational of certain fundamental laws that no matter what you're doing, you're subject to those laws. You got to pay in advance in a certain kind of way. You got to paddle out. You get to ride a wave. Usually the really good rides don't last long. Most of it is laboring to get there. But, you know, everything is waves. That's what Einstein said. And it seemed like waves is just the way that God is organized. And we do see things like light waves, and we hear things that sound waves, and we go through cultural epochs and, you know, history, and that's like event waves. Will Durant said that what civilization was, what happened between these big, you know, cataclysmic events on the earth. And those are waves, you know, the waves of cataclysms. You know, the earthquakes are waves passing through the earth. The tsunami is a earthquake created wave that goes through the ocean. It has a completely different wavelength and nature than a windblown wave, the kind we surf. So it's all these waves, and these surfers, by doing it and by engaging with it and by going through all the little necessary things that life requires of you to ride them, kind of learn about the way things work in the world. And so then they can apply their education in the water to their life on the land, which a lot of them seem to be doing.
Well, thank you. This has been very inspiring.
Go ride a wave, but don't take off on me, okay?
Yeah. I just have one last question. It's sort of an absurd question, but would it be possible for a surfer to ride a tsunami wave?
A guy did it. In fact, a guy did it. I'm the American editor for a magazine called The Surfer's Path, and we just ran a kind of an editorial, but in place of the usual editorial, we ran a 5-page story by this guy who was in Sri Lanka, formerly known as Ceylon, when the tsunami struck there. He was out surfing. His buddy and him went in towards shore. Then this thing was coming. They didn't know what it was at first. The buddy ran in, and he, out of instinct, when a big wave comes, turned around and tried to paddle through it. But it was just a big wall, and it took him. And he rode it on his belly, hanging onto his surfboard, right through the hotel, out the back, down across this courtyard, out through other structures, through a grove, and eventually was left at high ground, able to get his feet on the ground and survive. And the story goes on from there. I don't think you could stand up and ride a tsunami the way you would normally ride a wave. But I think if you were faced with a tsunami and you had a surfboard with you, I wouldn't throw it away.
Wipeout.
Drew Kempion is a surfer and author of the book Stoked. Steve Paulson spoke with him.